Help us keep the shows flowing to your ears. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and show us a little bit of love.
The smell.
That's the smell.
And move it in front of the jack.
No, it's when I put it up. It's the smell.
It'll get rid of my armpit smell.
You know, this is getting recorded.
No, that's why I'm leaning back.
Welcome to the Child Care Buyer and Girl Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio, I've got Lisa Murphy.
Good morning.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
Hey, a couple episodes ago, we did an episode called What's Quality? And we spent a while talking about quality. And we wrapped up saying, hey, there's probably more to say here.
And guess what?
And
guess
there
what?
Is.
There is.
That's why we're calling this episode Quality Revisited. Lisa threw some questions about this whole quality thing out to the interwebs and got some really neat feedback from people, and so we kind of want to delve into that a little bit. So where you want to start, Lisa?
I'm not sure. I called it lightning round. I said lightning round, indicators of quality, go. And
bam, bam, bam.
Was interesting to see what people responded. And I'm not sure the best way to do this for the benefit of the listeners. I'm just going to start barfing them off. Number one on the list, relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. And what I appreciated about some of the comments that we got were that they didn't just say relationships. They kind of elaborated without any prompting of what they meant by that.
Very nice.
Of that the children appear excited to be there, that they appear excited to see their providers, that there obviously is a connection between the adults and the children, and that both children and adults were engaged in the environment. So, I mean, that was what the majority of the posts indicated.
I dig that. Mm-hmm. I dig that because we talk about so much the relationships are the foundation of everything that goes on in the physical space. And if those aren't working, none of the other stuff tends to work as well
exactly.
as it could. And I don't think we focus on relationships as much now as we do getting ready to read and write and do maths in
maths.
The early maths.
Adults saying yes.
Ooh.
What? Is there any?
No. Well, they did. Like, yes, you can move that over there. Yes, you can stay in the block center. Yes, you can, you know, saying, leading with yes.
Yes, you can mix the Play-Doh colors.
Yes, you can mix the Play-Doh. Yes, hands are for touching.
You can walk down the hall without your hands in the air after you wash them. I think that's really important. And again, that goes back to relationships because it's kids knowing that they're trusted and respected as thinkers and doers of things, and that's pretty powerful.
Which, to me, also then implies that those teachers and providers feel trusted by their admin and their supervisors and their higher-ups,
so
they are able to be trusted to engage the children in that level, and that they're not being
micromanaged. And the being in a mindset where you're able to say yes to that stuff also, to me, indicates that those caregivers are probably doing a good job managing their stress and dealing with that kind of stuff, too, because when you start getting stressed out, you get this tunnel vision, and you turn into this no monster, no, just because you don't want to deal with the mess or the noise or whatever it is. And so I think we're in a better frame of mind when we're more open to yes or yes and exchanges with children in our environments.
Moving at the speed of the child.
Ah, instead of the posted schedule?
Exactly. Which, I mean, a lot of these were...
Which allows for struggles then.
Sure. Because maybe I need you to move a little bit faster. a lot of them were kind of saying the same things, but they put their own individual spin on it.
Uh-huh.
So there's, which I thought is kind of cool. So you probably could find five or six common denominators. It wouldn't be a 39 bullet point list of, you know, our people's indicators of quality. It probably comes down to like six of them. Following the interest of the children, which means, and I love this, they this person elaborated, which means that the teacher or adult is skilled in observation skills, or has deep observation skills, which means that the adult has enough time to engage in said observation, which also means that they're able to prioritize that observing perhaps is more important than what they thought they might need to be doing today. So that was quite an eloquent response. Deep independent play all over, being on a child's level, putting a child's needs first, play-based. Lots of unstructured play, which means that kids have enough time. A lot of people emphasize the importance of being outside and that an indicator of quality would be lots of outside time. That the educator is always learning and growing. That the educator is compassionate and is able to embrace the mess. Jump in when you want, guys. There's an emphasis on whole child development. A lot of emphasis on being developmentally appropriate. Some small group interaction with a variety of experiences for the children.
These sound like they're coming from people who are reflective practitioners of their profession.
Yes.
And so maybe an indicator of quality is that the people working in the programs are reflective practitioners in their profession.
With an understanding of child development.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of what children really need. There was a lot of people who said increased amounts of family engagement and family communication. That was a big one.
And again, that goes back to the relationships we started
off with. Exactly. And values the whole family, which I would read into that not just the kid, but everything that kid
not just mom and dad
shows
or the
up with.
Primary caregivers.
Right.
Yes.
That the adults enjoy themselves. That there are happy adults. Quite a few people said that the adults appear happy and passionate.
Then for me, another indicator is that these are probably a quality program is an quality indicator is that the program probably lacks stupid rules because we've done multiple episodes on stupid rules. And when we put the call out for those, what we end up hearing mostly from is frustrated, aggravated, run down, beat down professionals. And they don't seem very happy with that. They might not be in those settings anymore for exactly that reason.
Right, and that's my sense with when we do that calling of the Facebook.
And good for them for not being
I'm
there.
I'm thinking that most of these folks are no longer in those places.
Yeah, and so, yeah, happy adults is a good thing because you know what you get when you have happy adults?
You get happy,
happy kids.
Yes. And so to piggyback on the stupid rules comment, they also are saying that there would be lots of natural materials, that there wouldn't be any worksheets, that there would be lots of dirty hands, that the staff would be on the floor, which we have directly seen some stupid rules that would say that that's not allowed.
Lots of dirty hands. Now, I think some indicators of quality would point us in the exact opposite direction, indicating that there's never a dirty hand because you're washing your hands every 15 minutes.
Or five seconds.
If you touch your nose or touch a puppy or touch a stick or touch some dirt or touch your friend, you wash your hands. So all you're doing is washing your hands.
Exactly.
And what some programs...
Keeping the soap people in business.
Yeah. I like the dirty hands one.
And then I like this one. One provider said that the environment would be safe and clean, but then she clarified. She's like, for the record, I mean like common sense, not, you know, risk-free and sterile. So I appreciated the follow-up, although I kind of knew what she meant.
Yeah.
Low turnover, but that would be, to me, that's a duh. If you've got lots of happy staff, you're automatically going to have
low turnover,
lots of in-out playtime, an intentional environment, and then you get into some of the more specifics, that it would be child-led, that there would be process art, that the children are allowed to make choices, play was all over the place, and love, respect, engagement, and a knowledge of being developmentally appropriate, and a knowledge and understanding of child development. So you see a lot of overlap. I think we could whittle this down to a couple core indicators.
I like those. I like them. I love them. They're kind of hard to quantify. Kind of hard to quantify and put on a checklist.
It would be. Some of them would be true, but what's that old, not to be soundbitey, but what is that thing that what counts you can't always measure, and what you can measure doesn't always
count.
And we're seeing that this is true. You know, not one person said homework. Not one person said, learning your ABCs. Not one person, some of that stuff that I would say ends up happening when you have this.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the problems we have with quality is we're always trying to quantify it and give it a star rating or a letter grade or a thumbs up or whatever it is. And a lot of the stuff that we really need to measure is really hard to measure. And so creating those tools can be a challenge.
So if we jump in, all this information that we've gathered is awesome. The reality is that there are a lot of places that use either existing tools or tools from in-house in order to indicate quality.
Yeah, yeah, and it can...
Well, and to me, with these quality ones that you just listed, it's not making the programs cookie cutter.
Right, this implies, this would require that pause.
Yes.
Because there isn't a checklist. I mean, this is a lot of intuition. This is a lot of gut. I mean, how do you measure? I mean, love showed up five times.
How
do you measure that?
Well, and this is, if someone's going to go in with a checklist from this, you'd have to spend more than one day.
You would.
You'd spend a week, if at the minimum, to observe all this stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, and so maybe to really measure quality, it's got to be an internal process more than
external
measure from, what I mean?
I do. Kind of quality to me is...
I think quality in a program should be intrinsically motivated from within the program, not something that is thrust upon them from outside entity.
A third party who potentially has never been there, no vested interest in what's going on there. I get that it might make the process easier. It might make it to where we can say, well, because this has happened, then this... It's like a blanket, right? We've said you've jumped through these hoops. We've said you've meet these expectations that we have dictated what they are. So now you're quality. And where I have issue is that doesn't always mean that it's quality. But you've jumped through the hoops. You say yes to all of the checklists. But... I don't see that happy vibe. I don't see that passion vibe. But we default to the paper on the wall.
Yeah.
But it's quality, so it should be fine. But there's still something missing, and I think the something missing is what the folks that we've culled this information from. This is what's the missing piece of those existing tools.
Yeah, because you can have a certificate on your wall that says you're a quality program, and you're not. We've both probably visited those programs.
And the flip, exactly. The programs who have all of this that we've been talking about, and maybe don't have that piece of paper on the wall. But if we're training a consumer culture, i.e., parents who need childcare, to think that that quality is only a piece of paper on the wall, I think we're missing the boat.
And
I'm not in any way implying that parents wouldn't use their own gut feeling to trump that. You know, I've had many parents say they walked in and the place was not maybe as straight and as orderly as they would want it to be, but they could tell that the people wanted to be there.
Uh-huh.
The people there were happy, and they're like, at the end of the day, I'd kind of rather know that my kid wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so maybe I can turn a blind eye to the fact that there was a dirty coffee cup on the counter.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there are plenty of programs that have that certificate hanging on the wall and are doing incredible stuff too. So it's not only one or the other. There's all kinds of things there. So we got a little bit of time left. I want to throw myself under the bus a little bit for something.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I want to come clean.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. I spent, back in our family childcare days, years on the board of the National Association for Family Child Care. I started out as a regional rep and ended up being a treasurer for a number of years. Ran for president, lost, probably the best thing that ever happened to me because I would have probably been horrible at the job, and that's probably a good thing. And they have an accreditation process. And while I was on the board, I thought I did a good job as a board member. I mean, I tried to do my due diligence when issues came up for a vote, and I tried to be mindful, and I tried to make all the board calls and the board meetings, and so I tried to be a good board member. After I left the board, I found out that reliability and validity testing was a thing. Being on the board, I didn't even know this was a thing, because a lot of people don't. Now, reliability and validity testing is testing that's done to assessment tools, for example. The way I learned it was a thing is I was working with Red Leaf Press on a potential project that would have required that we did some reliability and validity testing, and we realized that would have taken about 3 years and cost $40,000 to $50,000, and so that project got scrapped for the realities of this just can't be a commercial product because we don't have that time and money to put into this. And so once I learned that reliability and validity testing was a thing, I asked a couple hard questions to the executive director of NAFCC at the time. I said, has reliability and validity testing been done on the assessment tool? And
for their accreditation
process. For their accreditation process. And there were crickets. And then I asked again. This is all by email. And there were kind of crickets. And then there was a phone call. And it was made clear to me that this didn't exist, had never existed, to the her testing. Knowledge, the testing. And there seemed to be an acknowledgement that it should be done, but that it probably wasn't going to be done because of the cost and time that it takes. Mm-hmm. And then I was quiet about it because I got my life. There's only so many apple carts Jeff can turn over in a day. And now to break down reliability and validity testing a little bit, the goal is to take the assessment tool and measure reliability. Does it consistently measure does this tool consistently get the same results? If Lisa used this tool and did the assessment of a program, and Tasha did and Jeff did, would we get the same results? Is it reliable? Mm-hmm. And validity is, does it measure what we say it measures? And those are two different things. A tool can be reliable and not valid, or it can be valid and not reliable.
Oh, my master's degree in data. Yeah. All coming back in my head.
Or it can be reliable and valid, or it can be neither. And so that's why this testing has to be done, and it has to be done by an independent third party, so that you want it to be impartial, so that if you say for example, the quality rating systems that the states use, a lot of them haven't been reliability and validity tested either, and you can't say a program is a 3-star and one program is a no star and one program is a 5-star if you don't have a valid tool, because it's meaningless.
Okay, now let that sink in. Because that's very important. And this is why we'll always circle back and say, where in the evidence? Show us the evidence, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not because we're pushing back. It's because when you have peer-reviewed research, that means that their study, their question has gone through this process. So they've replicated their study. They've gotten the same results. We actually are measuring what we say we're out there measuring. This becomes valid data.
Yeah, yeah. And now back to Jeff throwing himself under the bus.
I'm not sure that that's the right phrase.
Get to that part. Because apparently somebody thinks I need to be under the bus with. When I was on the board, if I had known what reliability and validity testing is, would I have asked about it then? I sure like to think so. I mean, I can't go back and do that, but I sure like to think that I would have done that, because I tend to like to ask the uncomfortable question when the opportunity is there. And so I like to think I would. Now,
you would have. Knowing you over 30 years, you would have.
And so... After I'd asked this former executive director of this organization about this, and this was a long time ago, time passed. And then I asked their new president a number of years ago, now 3-4 years ago now, and she was like the same kind of thing. Yeah, we know we should do it. We haven't done it. And then I still stayed quiet and didn't say anything about it. Because, I mean, this has the potential to hurt this organization. Because when you start breaking it down, if this organization has been saying this tool measures quality, and in fact it doesn't, and we don't know that because it hasn't been tested, and I'm not saying this is a bad tool, because I'm saying we don't know.
Correct.
And this organization has taken money from the military, and money from hardworking family child care providers. And if their tool hasn't been assessed, we don't know if it's providing the information they say it is. And so I really think they need to do whatever is required to get that testing done so that they have a valid tool or not, but so that there's an answer there. A few months ago, I somebody posted on Facebook about whether they should go through accreditation or not.
Through NAFCC?
Through NAFCC. And I said, probably not worth your time. All I said at first was no. And didn't elaborate. Because I got no reason to throw the organization under the bus. And then somebody asked, why? And I had to answer. I had to say because as far as I know, the organization has never had reliability and validity testing done, and therefore the tool we can't be assured that it measures what it says it does, and you probably shouldn't waste $1,000 or $1,200 or whatever it is for something that you don't know if you're getting what you're paid for. And then a few weeks go by, and I hear from somebody that had been at this organization's annual conference that they were kind of disappointed in Jeff. Because I emailed the current president of the organization and said, here you're not so happy with me, what's up? And apparently I'm not supposed to talk about that she saw, or somebody pointed to her attention that exchange I had with this person, and apparently disappointed that I'm talking about it in public. And I said, well, has reliability and validity testing been done? And the response was a non-response, not a yes or a no. It was, well, I'm really disappointed, one of those kind of things. I mean, if anybody wants to see the emails, I could probably give you the emails. I'm not sure if she would like it, but and since she kind of calls me out, kind of like, well, this wasn't an issue when you were on the board, and as I've explained, wasn't anything I knew was issue worthy when mm-hmm. I was on the board. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm throwing myself under the bus. I'm saying, hey, if I would, I should have maybe been more educated when I was a board member, so this could have been called out as a thing before. But you know, we only, like we talk about on the show all the time, we're all on our own journey, and we only know what we know, and so there's only so much that we can only work with the knowledge we have at the time, and at the time I didn't have the knowledge, and so I apologize for that. What I'm doing now is saying, if you're a family child care provider and you're accredited, you should be asking to see reliability and validity testing for the tool that they use to measure you. If you're a family child care provider and you're considering getting accredited, you should ask to see reliability and validity testing for the tool that they will use for measuring you. And if you are a current member of the NAFCC board, you should really be talking about how you're going to validate this tool, because if you're working with hundreds and possibly thousands of caregivers in this country, that's a lot of cash, and that's a family child care is a hard job, and those are hardworking people. And if that money isn't coming directly from those caregivers, it's coming from a government agency, which means potentially my tax money. You need to do the responsible thing and get the testing. Lisa Murphy, Tasha Johnson, am I an asshole for bringing this up?
No.
No.
No, not at all. Although I did write down that you're like Aaron Brockovich, though.
Oh! I saw you doing something. So
whistleblower, except your boobs aren't big enough. My only initial thing, and it's not in any way, because I think you're right. I think you're ballsy, and I think that should be commended, if that's the right word to use. One, we would be hypocrites if, in fact, not hypocrite. Let me reframe that. My brain's going, because there's three things I want to say.
Yeah.
we have said on the air, we have said amongst each other, we've said in our writings that when you honestly don't know better,
you can't do better.
You can't do better, and I will cut you slack all day long. It is, however, when we know better and choose for whatever reason to not act or do or whatever we need to do now with this new knowledge that we have, right? You didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking to unpack and make you give more details, but my first thought with my brain was, if in fact...
Which is the best thing to do your thinking with.
Yes, right, with my brain. Is when this programmer thing first rolled out, it would seem to me that somebody on the board woulda, shoulda, coulda been in a position to know to ask these questions. You know, if and I'm not, again, I'm not looking to get all the details, but one would think if this was a tool that they created on their own, you would think that somebody along the way would have advised them that this is a vital piece to this being a valid measurement tool.
And the other thing, let me throw this in there. The other thing about reliability and validity testing is that you should be redoing it every, 5 years,
yes.
I believe, just to make sure it is still reliable
and
valid.
And that's why Eckers continues to put the early childhood environmental rating scale. That's why there's always revision.
Yeah, and so from all the information I got is the testing was never done. And if it even had been at the beginning, that was so long ago that it hasn't been kept up to date. And so, but we don't know the answers because nobody has been clear in giving them. What I seem to know is that there isn't anything current. I mean, we're talking the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't know. I'm feeling like there's things I want to point out, but I don't want to make a potential situation any worse. But if you're collecting $1,000 per person, it seems like you could have paid already for what the cost
testing
would have been. Mm-hmm. If a third party came and said, "Here is a tool that you can use and modify to make specific to your group," it would seem that third party person or group or organization. I don't know where it came from, would have said, and a part of this is that, you know, the reason it is reliable that we are able to market it to you is because it's gone through this process. So it seems like somewhere along the way, if you're going to align yourself with this process, that the collective would have done the due diligence of knowing that we can't really claim to be saying that this is going to measure quality if, in fact, we've not done the proper studies to make sure that we can make that claim.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I think you're actually very bravely modeling perhaps a bigger example of some of the smaller baby steps that we're asking mm-hmm. the folks to do who listen to us, which is when you notice something that perhaps might not be consistent or aligned with best practice, that we gently push back. You know, this example just happens to be a little bigger.
Yeah. We talk a lot about doing the scary thing and making a ruckus, and that's, I guess, what I'm doing. And the thing is, I got nothing against NAFCC. There's good stuff going on with that organization, and the people that run it that I know are good, caring, committed person. This person that is president now, I mean, I could use her name. I don't know if I need to.
I don't think you need to.
I mean, you can Google if you need to. I think she's delightful and have a lot of respect for her.
I think, though, you know, let's forget for a minute the specific details of this example and story that you're sharing with us. We've all probably been in a situation where our eyes were opened to something.
Yeah.
And when you take the step that you feel you have to do with that, there's always going to be a little bit of fallout. There's always going to be a little bit of pushback. You know, I the first school that I ever worked in, I had my first real ahas that what was going on is not what I wanted to be a part of. So it's like, you know, I got to go. Well, mm-hmm. I was badmouthed for a while for that. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, she thinks she knows so much about her. And, you know, but they had to do that. I mean, that's just how people work. Like you called them out on something and people will react to that and, you know, and not necessarily reflect on whether or not there's a kernel of truth in perhaps what that person is saying. So, you know, they might have been just a little embarrassed, you know, and that,
yeah,
because maybe they didn't know and now they're going, shoot, shit,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, or they knew and they just didn't, you know, and we don't know.
Yeah,
and I don't know. That's not important. I'm just saying that I think that when we all take the risk of getting gung-ho once we drink a new batch of Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and perhaps that's what that's being seen as.
Yeah, and I also want to make it very clear that I invited this person on this show as a guest to talk about this a couple years ago when I first talked to her about it, and within the last month when we had our email exchange again, and that invitation was declined. After this episode airs, if there's an interest in her coming on and talking about this, we will absolutely record that episode. Because, you know, maybe I'm 100% wrong here, but I don't think I am. And again, there's nothing wrong with the organization. It's got some issues. It's like all membership organizations, they're struggling right now because so much of what they used to provide is being provided for free on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I think all membership organizations are struggling with membership and these kind of things and figuring out their place in the world. And that's a hard thing to do. But this is a piece of the puzzle that apparently has been lost in the organization someplace, and I would think they need to find it. And again, because I'm not saying the accreditation process or that tool is a bad tool, I'm saying we don't know because it hasn't been tested.
And if let's say Lisa Murphy and Jeff Johnson decided that they were going to make their own indicator of quality tool, you know, it's not like we would think that we would be exempt
from that.
No, right? I'm just wanting to set there's no element we're just saying that if something is claiming to do this, you need to know that it actually does.
Yeah, that needs to do the thing.
Like when we're in the workshops, yeah. Right? We don't say, well, research says, if we're not able to show where that research actually is.
Yeah,
that's so where you're it came not, from. It's just that it happens to be maybe a bigger entity and not, you know, a daily thing that you're dealing with.
Yeah, and I mean, the project Red Leaf and I had been thinking about was a play-based quality assessment type thing, and it would have been a neat tool, but because this was such a big process and an expensive process and time-consuming process, it was decided that, you know, it just wasn't worth the investment of time and energy and money. Mm-hmm. And we backed
off. Plus a lot of those things that would be, I think, quality indicators in a play-based setting.
Are
as
so
we
hard,
started
so
to
hard
say,
to
it
measure.
Would probably take
it
a lot
been
longer.
This stuff.
It would, yeah. How do you run, how do you measure love? How do you measure engagement?
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff is impossible to measure.
And I got to say, I respect Red Leaf for suggesting the idea in the first place, but also for knowing reality enough to say, hey, this is just too much. Mm-hmm. We can't do this.
Because if we tried to make it fit into that existing way of doing it, it would have ended up looking like one of those yes-no checklists, and all of these other variables would have been tested out of it.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a process that opened my eyes to a lot of things, including what we've been talking about, and I don't know. Anything else we want to talk about quality?
Well, I my brain's going where you have the assessors come out and observe, or the observers come out and observe the program. You'd almost have to have like one person who visits everybody, so it's that same standard going in, the same eyes and evaluation.
And that's been one of the biggest, I mean, and they'll all, it's a self-professed weak point in any assessment process is just the human variable.
Yep.
You know, your accreditor comes in, she was stuck in traffic, her clipboard broke, she, you know, ran out of gas.
Yeah, they didn't have her flavoring at Starbucks or something. Yeah.
How that could not be somehow, you know, built, you know, it's going to still influence the day. So that subjectivity factor has always been an Achilles heel of any kind of assessment tool.
Oh. You know, I want to throw in too before we wrap up that if you need to get a hold of me and yell at me or anything about this, it's jeffajohnson@cableone.net. Email me directly, and I'll respond and we'll talk about it because this is just a thing that needs to be dealt with.
So I'll play armchair interviewer here with you. I mean, if I had the magic wand, poof, What would an outcome, how would you like this to have some closure or resolution on it? Do you see an end goal?
For me, this is closure. I was feeling like an asshole because I knew this thing needed to be addressed.
So airing it is good for you.
I'm not on the board. I'm not responsible for them. I would hope that the people on the board raise the question. Mm-hmm. I would hope that the people that are paying money for accreditation or have paid money for accreditation in the past ask hard questions and get responsible, honest answers.
Okay.
Hey, this has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.